Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in Count is called Yellow Rhythmic Seed, and it is the sixth day of the Blue Storm Wave Spell. And it is also Crystal Moon 23. So I'm going to kind of start from the beginning because Mercury is retrograde, so I'm drawn backward in time to the beginnings of these teachings, and also because I tend to never slow down and rewind and give us the basics here, because that's not really my approach anymore, and I don't know who exactly is listening, but I don't want to dissuade people who are relatively new from being able to pick up the threads that I lay before you. So let's just get a quick review in here. Natural time is a version of the ancient Mayan calendars brought to life for us in a modern age. And it was all really the brainchild of Jose Arguelles, who's deceased. And I say that always because it's not like I made this up, these anglicized, modernized day names. But in reverence to Jose, and maybe just because it's easier, you know, as a disciple of some kind, it's just easier to follow what is laid before me rather than to reinvent. But I've been at this for 20 years, like truly, literally this last spring. And of course, in that time, some of my ideas have evolved, not past his in terms of a distance, astuteness, but just, you know, perhaps into a slightly different direction. But I would say that mostly it's just authentically delivering what he brought to life and really assuming, and I think somewhat blindly, like I don't check his body of work. I don't try to disprove what he taught or left us, because I am content with it. So I just sort of accept it. And he never sold it as this is the most authentic Mayan experience you could have. That happens if you go down to the territories in Mexico and meet the people there. Do that if that's your draw. This is sort of just like a mystical approach to the Mayan teachings. And it's also really encompassing, which I think is relevant in terms of what's going on culturally. It's nice to have a spiritual practice that is already non-exclusive, because Jose was a blue spectral monkey and he was so not interested in building up another system that refused to be knocked down. Like, he was knocking down the Gregorian calendar and he didn't want to replace it with Mayan teachings that were also intractable. So he did a lot of integrating, and that's why I just started posting in my Instagram story each day, which is not a very interesting story. It's just the Zolk'in day sign, in case you want to follow that way. And I'm always really interested in celebrating musicians when their Mayan birthday arises. But I started putting up the chakra of the day because I never talk about it here. And it's hard to talk about it here because we're moving through larger time frames than a day. But each week is oriented to chakras. So that is something you can learn. You can discover it on your own through your own reading material, or you can follow the Instagram thread. And you can also memorize things. So why don't I just tell you this in case you want to write it down. So the chakras are in a spiral and they always begin on the first day of the year. So the first day of the year means the first weekday. So we had a crazy year because it was leap year. So I don't want to like digress too much into that. So let's just talk about where we are right now. So the year begins on a Saturday. And so our chakra spiral begins on a Saturday. And when I say the year begins, I mean July 26, 2019. So July 26, 2020, the year begins not on a Saturday any longer, but on a Sunday. And then we will start the chakra spiral on Sunday. So that's why I'm posting it, because we're going to change. But for now, you can kind of get acclimated to it starts on Saturday, and it always starts at the crown chakra, closest to supreme beings. And then, because it's a spiral, it doesn't just move down our chakra column, it moves in a spiral. And so the next one is going to be the farthest away, the root chakra. So Sundays, such as today, are root chakra days at this time. And then on Monday, this spiral, which, you know, you have to visualize, it's going to curve back up to our third eye. And Tuesdays, it's going to curve back down to our sacrum. And then on Wednesdays, it will curve up to our throat chakra. Thursdays to our solar plexus. And Fridays to our heart, which is the center of the spiral. And I've been looking at chakras as if they were spiraled for a really long time, and it makes a lot more sense to me. I mean, of course it makes sense to observe the rainbow and to observe the chakra column being something that stretches us from heaven to earth as a kind of conduit, as an antenna. But there's something really powerful about spiraling into our heart and creating this kind of balance, you know, first the highest chakra, then the lowest, and so on until we're in our center. And so that's one thing that's kind of basic, that is integrating something that isn't Mayan necessarily. I mean, perhaps it is, but it's certainly Hindu. Okay, so that's an example of integration. That's the only one I'm going to give right now. I just wanted to talk about the three calendars, which I refer to all the time, but just to lay it out, they're all wave spells. They're all based on the count of 13. A wave spell is always a count of 13, but it is a count of 13 that is not linear. It's shaped like a wave. And the wave spells that we're probably the most used to are the ones that live in the Zolkin, and they are 13 days in a row, and they're are 20 of them in the Zolkin calendar, which is a 260-day calendar. So 20 sets of 13 is 260. There are 20 tribes, one for each of our fingers and toes. So each tribe gets a wave spell that is sort of its home base and celebrates itself. And the wave spells are always named for and oriented to the first day, the magnetic day of the 13. So when the blue storm wave spell that we're in now began, it was because it was blue magnetic storm. And then the next magnetic day will be yellow magnetic human. That'll be the yellow human wave spell. And then after that, red magnetic serpent. So there are also the wave spell of our year, our natural time year. A Mayan year begins on July 26th. The original Mayan year was divided into 20-day months, again, referencing our fingers and toes. And there were 18 of these months in the year, 360 days. And then there was a 5-day celebration at the end of the year that kind of connected the ending to the beginning. So from July 26th, the beginning of the year, until like July 20th or so of the next year would be 18 20-day months. And then the five-day Vayeb, it was called. The months that are 20 days long are called Vinals. I mean, they shouldn't be called months, but these segments of the year are called Vinals, and then there's a Vayeb of 5 days at the end. I'm mentioning that right now because I will be starting to fixate on the Vayeb, because even though we do not ever follow the 20-day Vinals here, you can follow them if you read my book. Or calendars I used to make had the celebration of the Vinals. But in any case, I will be celebrating the Vayeb, so I'm just mentioning why. Of course, I'll mention it again when we get there into July. But the Mayan year began on July 26th, and that was how the year was divided. But then a lot of cultures, again, here we are being integrative, had lunar calendars or calendars with 13 months. And so Jose Arguelles created the 13 moon calendar as the pivotal alternative to the Gregorian calendar. So again, the Dzogchen can't replace the Gregorian calendar, which counts a 365-day year. The Dzogchen is just a sacred count of the Maya that most of us realize is life-changing in terms of magic and synchronicity. But in an alternative to the Gregorian calendar, which believe me, Jose Arguelles in his prime was really trying to get them to replace the calendar. It just didn't take off, to replace the Gregorian calendar with the natural time calendar or the 13 moon calendar, because it is 13 even length months instead of the disjointed mayhem of our Gregorian calendar with its uneven month lengths. So there's something so powerful about a rhythmic calendar. But I'm talking about it right now because it is a wave spell. So we know about the 13-day wave spells, and then we also celebrate a 13-moon or month wave spell, 13 moons or months of 28 days each. It is the same shape. It is not a linear year. It is curved in the shape of a wave. And then I think that I give a lot more attention than some teachers of natural time or the Arguellian lineage to the 13-year wave spell. And part of the reason I'm doing that is because we're in the first year of a 13-year wave spell right now. On July 26, 2019, we began the 13-year wave spell of the White Wizard. It is a white magnetic wizard year, and so this wave spell of 13 years is named for, oriented to, the magnetic tone or the magnetic year. So that's why it's a white wizard wave spell. Just so you know, there are only four different wave spells that make up the year, the count of 13 years. It's a 52-year cycle. It's not more or less. It repeats infinitely, endlessly. We can look through all of history in 52-year increments and find synchronicities. I've been talking, you know, pretty constantly, chronically, about my fascination with 1968 being the same as 2020. They are both white magnetic wizard years. I'm talking, of course, about this first half of 2020. There's a correlation, right, that every natural time year is sort of half one Gregorian year and half of another. So white magnetic wizard is 2019/2020. You can think of it like a school calendar that you start in September in one year and you graduate or finish the year in June in another. And the 13 moon calendar, the Mayan calendar, is a lot like that. So 2019-2020, 52 years prior, was 1967-1968. And so that's a big deal that it's 52 years. And there are four wave spells that make up these the 52 years. There's the Red Moon wave spell, then the White Wizard wave spell that we're in now, and then the Blue Storm wave spell, 13 years of Blue Storm. And then the Yellow Seed wave spell, 13 years of Yellow Seed. So that's all really important information. I don't do longer wave spells, 13 back tunes. I can't remember how many that is. But, you know, when we hit December 21st, 2012, and that was supposed to be a big, big deal, it was like the completion of some exponential wave spell, you know, like 13 wave spells of 2,000 years, or it was a 5,200 year cycle it ended, but also maybe five of those, which is where you get 26,000. When I wrote my book, for some reason I'm talking a lot about my book right now, because I'm going to start writing my second book soon. When I wrote my book, I did a lot of research because I don't factually remember these larger Mayan cycles, but I did some research so I could report about it, about what December 21st, 2012 was. And then I just didn't retain it because it doesn't interest me. The fixation of others ends up being not my fixation. So when everyone was really infatuated with that whole promise or premise, I mean, I became a joiner, but it's easier to be interested in things that aren't being thought about, because it's almost like the unthought about things are orphans that need attending to. If everyone's thinking about something, then it's covered. It's being cared for. But I tend to move over and look in some kind of recess. So I think that the natural time calendars that we are following together are very much in the recesses of the public eye. And if anyone were pinned to the wall and asked about Mayan things, they would maybe come up with December 21st, 2012, or just the year 2012 and the end of the Mayan calendar and blah, blah, blah. But all of this is so much more rich and life-affirming / life-changing. And the affirmative part of it is not that it makes life easy or optimistic or blissful or abundant only. We live only in light. The affirmative part is that it just seems like it develops our intuition so strongly that we're constantly feeling affirmed by the unseen world that it exists. The unseen world is constantly affirmed. Our intuition is fed. Our mysticism is fed. And that's why I find it so powerful. So it'd be cool if I like pinned this podcast so that everyone could come to it and be able to jump in to what we do each week, twice a week, with all of that info behind it. I'm saying that to myself. Perhaps I can try to do that. We're also in retrograde, Mercury retrograde, and some of you know I talk about it with this disclaimer, like natural time is inclusive, as noted. It is basically, you know, just an assault on unnatural time, which was what the Gregorian calendar established, you know, unrhythmic, arrhythmic, and illogical, and unceremonious timekeeping. You know, it's not grounded in anything that's meaningful. It's sort of made up. That reminds me a lot of Trump. I include the retrograde because it's such a huge part of my experience of time. It's from the other astrology. I call it every man's astrology because anybody can understand retrograde by experience, because something will break, a communication will go sideways, haywire, you know, expensive repairs on things that we seem to rely on, our automobiles, our computers. So it catches our eye, it wakes us up, because money, commerce, sacrifices involve slowing us down. And those are the things, just like quarantine, that wake us up. So we're pretty woke right now. And there's something kind of fun about retrograde on the heels of the quarantine. A lot of people aren't in quarantine anymore, but there's something about retrograde that I feel like the comfort zone is sort of being inside or on your own in the recesses of your own reality. Remembering things from the past, like I've been experiencing, just like the idle remembering of people from my past. Maybe do one little Facebook cruise, just almost to indulge it, almost to celebrate. Well, it's retrograde. Why don't I look this person up and see what they're doing, because they've come to mind from the past. And pretty soon there'll be some synchronicities for each of us that we will be we'll run into someone from the past, or we'll hear from them, or it'll be a larger kind of karmic turn between us and another or others from the past. I mean, that's pretty predictable. That's why it's kind of like bingo, where you're like, oh, wait, I get to put my dauber on the dot that says past boyfriend encounter. So I also just feel like I want to salute that we made it into the retrograde, because the pre-shadow phase and entering it is sort of where the most havoc is, and that would have been like the 16th and 17th on the Gregorian calendar, or the beginning of this wave spell. Essentially, the blue storm wave spell launched us into the actual Mercury retrograde. So, you know, what is blue storm? I am blue storm. And I just say that as a disclaimer. So I can't speak of this time from the outside. I remember doing this last time we were in the blue storm waves, but like, I'm sorry, I don't know what it's like, because this is where I live. So I can't separate enough to be like diagnostic. I am getting so much done, and I just love the force of blue storm. And you know, the kind of catalyzing breakthroughs I'm having are just like things on the to-do list. Like, I'm pretty rigorous about documenting what I have not done. It's a hard on self perfectionistic stance. So I have these lists of things, you know, this trim molding on the cabinet after I like painted my entire kitchen, and I never did that last piece of molding, and it sits on the to-do list like it's scolding me. And so I have seen in this blue storm moment, like, I'm just killing it on these nagging, shaming, you know, like personified little demons living in this array of tasks, and just having a lot of energy. I like this language of a millennial. It was just crushing it, man. And there's a certain liberation, of course, to be a blue storm person who is almost always too much for someone who's close by. Not everyone finds the blue storm too much, but there'll be someone will. And it's obvious, they're vocal or easy read. So there's something nice about being in the blue storm time, and sort of feeling like my blue stormness is diluted into the whole atmosphere. And so it's not like me that people notice if they're agitated by blue storm. You know, they can fixate on something much larger than my presence. And I really hope I don't sound like I'm aggrandizing the tribe that I'm born in. I honestly, from my perspective, feel like I'm sort of apologizing for it. It is not fun, I guess, to be around thunder, lightning, and rain. maybe for a spell, but not just constantly. And what is a storm if not that? I can't portray that a storm is any other weather front. A storm is that very, very pinpointed description. It is thunder and lightning and rain. It could be a softer rain. It could have no lightning or no thunder, but it's going to involve rain. And I don't know, maybe some Northwesterners that love rain all the time, but I don't live there. I live in sunny Southern California. So that's the blue storm piece, more to be experienced. I really wanted to commit to the front end of like this detailed reintroduction, because, you know, I could just riff on the culture and what the culture is going through in blue storm. But I just feel like, even though I indulge in that all day in my thought processes, it may not be as interesting to you as having that overview. The crystal moon is winding down. And I mean, I feel sort of like, what can we say? It's the year is winding down with this crystal moon winding down. I want to set you up for that realization. I had this chat with a friend or two this week, like, hey, you, like, it's the end of the year when the crystal moon ends. in terms of action, which is what we're really fixated on in Western civilization. I mean, if we were maybe not Western or whatever, urban or suburban, if we were like deeply withdrawn to nature, we might not think that the end of a plot line, the end of the action of a story, which is what happens at the end of The Crystal Moon, that's the end of the action. Then there's nothing's going on. Then it's over. If there's no action, it's over. But, you know, after action is inaction, and it's still part of the year. When we get to the cosmic moon, we have inaction, still part of the 13 moon year that we're in. But it's just not, there's not a lot of doing. There's not a lot of story. There's not a lot of accomplishment, and I don't know this is absolutely true, but similar to retrograde, it is not a time to initiate things. Like starting things in the cosmic moon, it doesn't make sense or have traction. I'm telling myself that because I'm trying to write a book and shortly in the cosmic moon, and I'm probably going to have to just sell myself on, you know, preparing to write and hoping that I can write in the new year. And again, I don't mean to sound superstitious or create a kind of controlling perspective. I think I mean it kindly as a gesture of kindness to yourself. If coming out of retrograde or reminding you in retrograde, you can't really start anything. And then if we come out of the retrograde and you're like, yay, now I can start something, you might have two or three more weeks per natural time, i.e. the Mayan cycle and this wave spell of the year, before, you know, your focus is returned to you. And you have to enjoy the cosmic moon also, like please do, because I think that the natural time years, the 13 moon years, always start, you know, exhaustively purposeful, that we attract our purpose in the magnetic moon starting July 26, going for the first 28 days of the year. And it's like, what the hell? We had like the spectral crystal and cosmic moons. We had 3 times 28, all of not really seeing productivity or, you know, like we surrender a lot in these three moons, the three tones that finish the year. There's a lot of surrender. The surrender starts in the spectral moon. We get used to surrender when everything is falling apart or falling out from under us. You know, we're in free fall. The crystal moon, of course, there's a lot more resolution, but I mean, look at our crystal moon. It's epic. It's epic. And again, it's ending, it's things resolving, you know, as far as they can for this year. And I say that like in terms of the culture, like, okay, so maybe it isn't going as fast or as far as we hoped or intended or thought. And that doesn't matter. It's a magnetic year. We attracted our purpose for 13 years. And one of the major purposes we attracted was to, become anti-racist, and it'll take 13 years to get there, or it'll take 10 years to get to the peak of the wave and get there. It'll take 11 or 12 to get to the resolution of the 13-year wave spell, but we attracted our purpose, and powerfully, obviously, we did. So the resolution of the crystal tone or the crystal moon it's an action winding down. And then it's just inaction. I'm just saying that we're going to get to the cosmic moon. I'll talk it up big time. But it is a spaciousness. It's a place where meditation lives. It's a place where oneness with the cosmos lives. And that's dynamic. And when we become dependent on it by the end of 28 days, that's what we want. We want to live there. It's like traveling to Indonesia, go to Bali. I mean, not literally, it's not like lying on a white sand beach the whole time, but it's just like, it is dizzying kind of existential, pleasurable and challenging, but bringing us into the present moment only, which is relaxing. We did that in quarantine. Time slowed down. And so then when we get to the magnetic moon in the new year, which will be blue lunar storm, like it's kind of like, oh man, okay, here we go. Well, there's no denying, here it comes. We're going to attract our purpose for the 13-year wave spell in the first 28 days, and it's going to be a wild ride. It's going to be a blue lunar storm year in the white mirror wave spell. What does that mean? It means that blue lunar storm that starts our next year is in the white mirror wave spell. So the year even carries aspects or reverberations of the white mirror tribe. And I think I'll just do some advertising promotion here, partly because I just am not sure it's clear that I have a website that I've had for a long time called resonanttruth.com. And on it, I sell books that I wrote. I wrote a book that is kind of like an illustrated textbook. It's more text than illustration. It starts at the beginning, like I did today, and it goes deep. And then I also made it like a much more illustrated primer that used to be sold with a calendar that I no longer produce. And they're really useful. And so you can check them out at resonanttruth.com, where I also describe the readings that I do that are meant to be extremely affordable, and I'm very available. So look for those resources. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in the Kesh.